Let's open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 19. In this last section of Nehemiah 6, we see the completion of the wall around Jerusalem. Nehemiah 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them. For many in Judah were pledged to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehoahan had married the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and reported my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Background notes. We read in verse 15 that the wall was finished in 52 days, less than 2 months. That's a tremendous accomplishment. This wall, of course, was the wall of Jerusalem that had been destroyed by the Babylonians when they overran Jerusalem in the 6th century BC. That's when they took the Jews into captivity. Nehemiah came on the scene in the 5th century BC after the Jews had returned from their 70-year captivity. With God's strength, Nehemiah was able to motivate the people to rise up and rebuild the ruined wall around Jerusalem. Now, it took a lot of effort, as we've seen. A lot of obstacles and opposition had to be overcome. In addition, there was doubt and discouragement, as well as strife within the ranks that had to be overcome. But under Nehemiah's godly leadership, the people continued to build, and here at the end of chapter 6, we see the job completed. It was in the Hebrew month Elul, which is around August or September of our calendar. The year is about 445 BC. Notice in verses 17 through 19 that Tobiah, remember he's one of the enemy, he's still giving Nehemiah trouble. In fact, we see that he's made inroads into Israel through marriage. We'll see when we get to chapter 13 that this was no small problem. Incidentally, Tobiah has recently been documented extra-biblically by inscriptions that have been found in Jordan. I was just reading about this in an archaeological journal. Remember we mentioned that we have inscriptions containing Sanballat's name and also other inscriptions containing Geshem the Arab's name? Now a couple of inscriptions referring to a Tobiah dynasty have been found about 5 miles from Amman, Jordan. Most likely the Tobiah here in our chapter in Nehemiah was one of the earlier rulers in this dynasty that's now been uncovered in these inscriptions. Let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, it is possible to build strong walls. It is possible to build strong walls. We've mentioned a number of times that the physical wall building in the book of Nehemiah pictures spiritual wall building. God wants us to have strong walls of Christian testimony, not sandcastles, but walls. God wants to see strong and stable Christian individuals. He wants to see strong and stable Christian families. He wants to see strong and stable Christian churches. It's not easy to build strong spiritual walls, but it can be done. And it doesn't take that long. Although wall building and then watching the walls goes on for all of our lives, it is possible to get some strong walls built in a reasonable amount of time. You know, I've had some students come to our Bible college with no Christian background or Christian upbringing. You might say saved off the streets. I've even had a couple of students that were saved in prison. It's truly amazing to see what God can do in 1 or 2 years of dedicated Bible study and commitment. Strong walls can be built. So don't be discouraged. The Bible teaches that it is possible for you to build strong walls. Second doctrinal point, strong spiritual walls do affect the enemy camp. Strong spiritual walls do affect the enemy camp. Look at verse 16. Notice that the enemy is disheartened. They've lost their confidence when they see that the wall is up. You might think that building strong walls of Christian testimony only serves to stir up the enemy. Well, it does do that. We've seen that. But it also brings about his loss of confidence. It disheartens the enemy. Illustration. You know, it's interesting that some unbelieving scientists who hold to the theory of evolution will no longer debate scientists who are Christians and hold to creation. How come? Well, they've lost their confidence. They've become disheartened. And it's really because the creationists have begun to build some strong spiritual walls. They're no longer country bumpkins unable to defend the faith. They have strong walls of Christian testimony and can defend the faith. They know their Bible and their science. The enemy has lost his confidence. The enemy is disheartened. Strong spiritual walls do affect the enemy camp. Notice also from verse 16 that the enemies recognize that the work was of God. In Psalm 126, which was written after the people returned from captivity. Most of your Psalms, of course, were written by David, but you have other Psalms as well. And this one, Psalm 126, was actually written after the people returned from their 70-year captivity. Now notice what it said in verses 1 through 3, Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. When Israel came back from their captivity, the surrounding nations knew that God was working on their behalf. And part of this, of course, was because of this wall that's gone up. No way you could build a wall like that in 52 days without God's help. The enemy noticed that God was with them. Well, in the same way, as we build strong walls in our lives today, strong Christian testimonies in our own lives, in our lives of our families, in our churches, the enemy of the faith realizes that this is more than natural. Another illustration that might be helpful. Chuck Colson, as a Christian, has built some strong spiritual walls in his own life as well as in the prison ministry. And it's been in a relatively short time. Even the skeptics have to admit that this is not normal or natural. They try to explain it in a lot of different ways, but many admit that it does smack of the supernatural, the changes of God. Strong spiritual walls do affect the enemy camp. Now let's see if we can fit in here one more doctrinal point. Mixed marriages will lead to compromise. Mixed marriages will lead to compromise. In verse 18, we see that Tobiah, the enemy, has been able to infiltrate and become like a fifth column in Judah, and it's through marriage. He had married a Jew, as we see here, and his son had married a Jew. It'd be kind of like today if a man from a prominent family in Jordan were to marry a Jewish woman. Well, see, now there's potential here for security leaks, for infiltration. That's something like what was going on here. Now, according to Jewish law, this was wrong in those days. According to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 and 4, Jewish women were not to marry Ammonite men. And sure enough, the mixed marriage here led to compromise. The nobles here in Judah begin singing the praises of Tobiah. Hey, he's not so bad. Probably they were doing this for purposes of gaining trading contracts and so forth. And yet, he still is an enemy. He's still writing threatening letters to Nehemiah, as we see in verse 19. Mixed marriages will always lead to compromise. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." You can't have a marriage of a committed believer to an unbeliever without some kind of compromise. It's not only wrong, it won't work. It's hard enough for Christians to stay fully committed to the work of the Lord in a Christian marriage. Mixed marriages definitely lead to compromise in some way. All right, what about practical application? Practical application number one, never say it can't be done. Never say it can't be done. When they started rebuilding the wall, the job seemed impossible. There were probably many who down deep were saying, I will never be able to get this job done. No way. Yet in 52 days, the wall is completed. Well, spiritual wall building is like that too. I mean, at first it looks like there's so much to do, so much to learn, so much rubbish to clear away. Well, the key is to start and continue one step at a time. Illustration. You know, I always wanted to write a book to the glory of God as part of wall building, but I always thought, oh, I never can write a book. You know, what a project to write a book. Well, as many of you know, I've written two books now. The key was you write one little small section at a time. As most of you know, the two books I've written are really compilations of the one page at a time devotions for growing Christians that I write six times a year. Some of you have never read the Bible through yet. Oh, it seems so big, such a big job to just read the Bible through. Leviticus is so boring, some people say. Well, start and continue. Read some every day. You'll be done before you realize it. God may be calling you or your church to start a new ministry, maybe a crisis pregnancy center, some other ministry. This is certainly part of wall building. Never say it can't be done. The job may look quite large down the road, but just start working now and see what God can do in a relatively short period of time. Never say it can't be done. Second practical application, expect to feel betrayed in the work of the Lord. Somewhere along the line, expect to feel betrayed in the work of the Lord. How do you think Nehemiah felt when these disloyal Jews, these nobles, these Jewish nobles, started singing the praises of Tobiah? I mean, here you've gone all out and you've completed a great work, great project for the Lord, the completion of the wall. And some of your key people, Jewish nobles, start singing the praises of the enemy. Well, it does happen in the work of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice the way we phrase the lesson. Expect to feel betrayed in the work of the Lord. Not expect to be betrayed. Now, that may happen. There are times when you are betrayed. But most likely, it's like a situation here. Most likely, these nobles were not out to deliberately betray Nehemiah. They were probably glad that the wall was built. But they just felt that compromising with Tobiah was the better way to go here for trading purposes or whatever. But they were wrong. Well, sometimes, as I say, you will be betrayed, but most of the time it's going to be not quite that bad. But you'll feel betrayed, like Nehemiah did, when people don't support you. You probably felt betrayed in the last decision made at your church when you didn't get the decision to go away you wanted. Who was right, the other side or your side? Well, even if you were right and the wrong decision was made, be like Nehemiah. Even though you feel betrayed, you notice Nehemiah didn't say, well, that's it, I'm out of here, I quit. No, he continued on for 12 years in Jerusalem, doing what he could to lead and encourage the people of God. So expect to feel betrayed, but don't throw in the towel. Continue to encourage and build up the people of God.